Welcome to Crypto Nights, where we help you finally make sense of the trending world of cryptocurrencies. So gather your virtual piggy bank and let's get started.
Hi Ken, welcome to Crypto Nights podcast. We are so excited to have you on our podcast as a guest speaker today.
Well, it's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Awesome, awesome. And I must tell you, this is the first time we have had a guest speaker who is the founder of a hardware wallet. So I'm personally very excited because I always look for new things to present on Crypto Nights.
Great. Yeah.
So why don't we start off with a little bit of your own background, because I've been super impressed. I've been studying up both on you as well as your company. And I must admit, I've been surprised and impressed on both counts. So if you don't mind sharing a little bit about your entrepreneurial background and then tell us about KeepKey, that'll be great.
Well, sure. Yeah. So I discovered Bitcoin in 2011, and it was, you know, like, I think like most people, when I discovered it, I was consumed by it, for the first few months. And I just read everything that I possibly could about it, and set up a miner and just kind of played around with it for a few years. And then about 3 years ago, I was contacted by a guy here in the Seattle area that was interested in building a hardware wallet. And so I joined him, and we together built this, built the KeepKey device and the software that went with it. And the reason we built it is because we felt that there were already two other hardware wallets on the market at the time, and we felt that there was a lot of room for improvement, and so we built the device that we wanted is really what it comes down to. And it's just been a fantastic journey. It's been nothing but fun all along the way.
That's awesome. For people, many of our listeners, I have had people ask me quite a few times, what the heck is a hardware wallet?
Yeah.
So, can we start at the basics? So imagine that our listeners already have Bitcoins or Ethereum or some of the top coins, for example. And A, why do they need a hardware wallet? And B, how do they use it?
Okay. So one of the, being that I've been in crypto as long as I have, there have been a lot of times along the way where I've had a wallet on a computer, or especially in the early days when, one Bitcoin was worth under $10. I'd have a wallet on my computer and it would have, one Bitcoin on it. And so then I would forget that it was there and wipe the hard drive or something, and then that wallet is gone forever, right? It's hard when you're like kind of experimenting with this new technology to keep track of everything like that. So one of the things that a hardware wallet does for you is it allows you to centralize all of that into a single device, so that you just, all of your crypto goes on there and you know where it is. And then another thing that, a lot of people remember this, and that was when there was a large exchange called Mt. Gox that it was pretty much the exchange that everybody in the community used to buy and sell Bitcoin. And one day they just, their system just stopped. They just shut it off and went bankrupt, and everybody lost their Bitcoin. I lost 5 Bitcoin on Mt. Gox. So, another advantage of a hardware wallet is now you've got since you have a place that you control, that, a device to store the funds on, you don't have to keep them on an exchange anymore. You can, you know, in the before hardware wallets, you had the choice of either keeping them on your hard drive, which then you're at risk of, you know, your hard drive crashes or your computer crashes, or you just forget it's there and you wipe the hard drive. Or keeping them on an exchange where you don't know that you can really trust that you're gonna get them back. So what hardware wallets represent is kind of this third alternative where you have a device and all of your funds are on there and you have full control of the funds. So they're not going to get lost. They're not going to get stolen. They're not going to get, you know, accidentally erased or any of those things.
Yeah. And, so these kind of look like a USB drive or a pen drive, right?
Yeah.
And how does one use these? Do they just plug it into the computer? And how do you transfer your Bitcoins? How do you do it? Just give us a mental video, if you will.
Sure. So the device does look, they do look a lot like a thumb drive. The difference, though, is that there's a CPU inside of the device, and the device also has a screen on it. And so when you get the device, you have to install some software on your computer to talk to it. But the device is where it's the place where the key, your private key, is held securely. So the private key never leaves the device. So when you want to do a transaction, you launch up the software on your computer, and it comes up and it has a list of all of the various different accounts and the balances that you have. And then if you want to send something somewhere, the software on your computer has to talk to the device and tell it what you want. And then the device is going to confirm it on the screen. So for example, let's say I wanted to send you half of a Ether. So I would go to the client software and put in your Ethereum address and put in a half an Ether, and then it would hit send, and then on the device it would come up and say, hey, do you really want to send half an Ether to this Ethereum address? And I have to push a button on the device to confirm the transaction, and then that provides the signature and sends that back to the client software, which then broadcasts the transaction out to the world. So there's a lot of security, a lot of extra security you get by never having that key exposed. First of all, the key isn't exposed on your computer, so it's not vulnerable to malware. And you're not, you know, if you do, you don't have to worry about your computer crashes or you forget the password on your computer or anything like that, because the key is stored safely on the device itself.
Yeah, because recently I was reading about one of the gurus who would promote tokens and various ICOs was doing a Facebook Live event. I don't know if it was Facebook Live, I take that back. He was doing a live video conference chat of some kind. I don't know what software he was using. When after, I'm imagining a large audience, somebody, you know, burrowed back into his computer, went to his Evernote and took the logins and passwords of my Ether wallet and cleaned it out of $2 million worth of tokens.
Oh no, right? That's terrible. Yeah.
Now when you're talking about this, I say, well, there's a reason here. You have a physical, you look at the display and you have to take a physical action. So that adds a huge, you can kind of know that, hey, is somebody trying to do something here and I'm not aware of. And then you see that it asks you to take some action, which is something tactile. And you don't, obviously, if you want to protect it. So,
right. Yeah, we people occasionally will ask us, what do I do? Well, so what do I do if the device, if I don't think that, you know, if the thing that comes up on the screen of the device isn't what I'm expecting, you know, and the response is just unplug the device. And once the device is unplugged, there's nothing that, you know, nothing can get into it and nothing can, you know, it's not gonna send a transaction somewhere where it's not supposed to go or any of that kind of stuff. So, you know, we actually built the system in a way where we assume that the computer where the client software is running, we assume that that computer isn't safe. So you literally could install the client software on a computer down at the public library and use your keep key to do a transaction, and you wouldn't have to worry about it as long as you're paying attention to what the device is telling you.
That is amazing, Ken. I love it. I love the fact that it is so intuitive. You know, if something bad is happening, what is my first response is to pull it out. And you're telling me to do that.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah. So.
That is wonderful. Now, I also want to cover, I'm sure you hear these questions all the time, but I want to collect them all in one place so, you know, this podcast can serve as also as an FAQ that people can listen and understand.
Yes.
So I'm sure you get this. What if I lose my KeepKey wallet, hardware wallet? What happens then?
Well, when you initialize the device, there's a whole process that when you first get the device, you have to go through in order to get it set up. And one of the steps in the process is that I mentioned earlier that the private key is can never come off of the device.
Yeah.
There is one exception to that, and that's when you initialize the device, it shows you the private key on the screen of the device.
Okay.
And instructs you to write that down somewhere and store that away somewhere safe. So that would be, you know, you'd want to like seal it in an envelope and put it in a safe. Or in a safety deposit box at the bank or something like that. And then once you've done that, now you've got a full backup of everything that is on the device, and you can use the device without fear of that private key ever being exposed from the device itself. So then if the device, let's say then the device gets damaged or stops working or, you know, whatever, gets stolen, it gets lost. The recovery process then is to go out and get another device, and the private key that you wrote down on the card and stored away, there's a process that you can go through to restore that to the new device, and now that device, as far as the client software is concerned, now that device is identical to the one that you lost.
Beautiful. Yeah. I love that. Yeah. So my safety is assured when it is on the hardware wallet, but if I lose the hardware wallet, I still can recover it.
Yes.
Yeah, that's great.
Yes. And the use of the hardware wallet is protected by a PIN. So when you set up the device, you also define a PIN that has to be entered anytime you plug it in or anytime you want to do a transaction, you have to enter the PIN. Okay. And the PIN, you know, you might think, well, a PIN wouldn't be that hard to crack. If I was going to, you know, try to attack your KeepKey and get the funds off of it, I could just try all the different PINs that were possible. But the device has a mechanism on there where after a certain number of pins, it starts, the amount of time you have to wait before you can try again doubles. And so after after 10 tries, you're waiting for, I don't remember the exact number, but I think it's like a day before you can try again. And then after 20 fails, you're waiting for months between attempts. So by making you wait longer and longer and longer, effectively it makes it virtually impossible to attack the PIN on the device, unless somebody were to get really, really lucky and guess the PIN right the first time or one of the first three times. It's going to end up taking so long in order to be able to try all the different combinations, like millions of years to try all the combinations of pins very quickly.
Got it.
Yeah.
Great. And the next question, again, I'm sure you got this many, many, many times, is people have heard about other hardware wallets like a Trezor or a Ledger. So why should they buy KeepKey?
Well, if you're going to, I encourage everyone to buy a hardware wallet. And if you're going to buy one of those three, because those are all three very trusted brands. I know the chief engineers for all of the other companies, and they're people that are highly dedicated to security and very smart engineers. So you can't go wrong with any of the three. The reason that I think KeepKey is better, the reason that we built it in the first place, is again, it's got a very high luxury feel to it. It's got the casing on the back is metal. It's a good size. It's very rugged and it feels like very much like a luxury product when you're holding it in your hand. In addition to that, we have a much larger screen than either the Ledger Nano S or the Trezor. And what that does is it allows us to communicate more clearly to the user exactly what the device is doing. There's a few types of transactions where on those other devices, because of the limitation of their screen size, they're not able to, like, for example, to be able to show you the entirety of the address that you're sending funds to. But on our device, because we have the large screen, we can show the whole address and we can show it all in one line, instead of having to, like, maybe show it on multiple screens or wrap it across multiple lines. So it's in the same format that you're going to see it on the screen of your computer. So it makes it much easier to compare what you see on the screen of your device to what you're expecting to see. And then we're in the process of releasing. We're just this week we're going to release ERC-20 support to production, and we took a bit of a different approach there too from our competitors. They pretty much take the stance with Ethereum that you can sign anything. And we felt that it was important for the device to really truly understand what it's signing. So when you send an Ethereum transaction to, like, with a, like an ERC-20 token transfer to the device, it goes into the contents of that the transfer code, and actually reads what that's saying and explains to you on the device exactly what the transaction is going to do. And on the other devices, that's not always as clear. So the big screen really is a security feature, but in addition to being a security feature, it's nice having a screen where the text is big enough where you can easily read it. And then the third main differentiator for our product, I think, is so KeepKey is part of Shapeshift, and Shapeshift is a decentralized exchange that has, I believe it's somewhere around 50 cryptocurrencies available on it, and you can easily convert between those cryptocurrencies with Shapeshift. On the KeepKey client, we have that integrated directly into the client. So, for example, if you have a Litecoin and an Ethereum account set up on your KeepKey, and you have some Litecoin and you want to turn it into Ethereum, you can just do that right from the client. And you just go to the send screen and you say, I want to send, say, let's say one Litecoin to my Ethereum account. the client software and the device will figure out what that it needs to go to Shapeshift to be able to do that, because they're two different currency types. And it automatically sends the request off to Shapeshift and just manages it all for you. So you don't have to do a whole bunch of, you know, moving back and forth between multiple wallets or any of that kind of stuff. It just does it for you. It's really a great feature to just, you know, you can literally turn any cryptocurrency that you own into any other cryptocurrency that you want.
Wow. So there is a huge advantage of the fact that you guys share Eric as the CEO. So,
yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Now, let's, I have another, this is a use case that we have discussed at home. Let's say, is it possible to have the same information, the same crypto saved on two different keep keys? Maybe I keep one, my wife keeps one.
Yes. Yes, that's possible. That's definitely possible. There's a lot of people that will keep people that have higher investments or are trading frequently. They'll keep multiple devices set up with their key already, so that if one fails, they can easily switch to the other without having to do a recovery. So again, it would be, it's trivial. The recovery process is, you know, you write down that seed at the beginning, and then if you have a second device that you want to have that same seed, you can just recover it onto a second device, and now you've effectively got two devices that are identical. One thing from a security standpoint that I would encourage people to do, though, if they're concerned about that, is to if you're going to share the same key between multiple devices, use the same brand of device. But if you want to spread your currency out across multiple keys, use different devices.
Good advice. I said that's good advice. Yeah.
Yeah. And the reason for that is that if you're sharing a key, the same key, every device is going to be potentially have a potential set of vulnerabilities. And if you expose your key to multiple potential sets of vulnerabilities, your keys are more vulnerable.
Yeah.
So that's why you should keep them on a single device, the same type of device. But if you're going to have, if you do want to spread your funds out across the different vulnerabilities, so let's say you want to have a third of your crypto on one device and a third on two other devices, if you want to spread out the risk of one of the devices having a vulnerability, then at that point you would want to have one of each type of device as much as you can.
Yeah. This is your safety bet. These are the unknown unknowns. We don't know. I mean, obviously, the known vulnerabilities are things that you already have dealt with, I presume.
Exactly, yeah.
So we are talking about, yeah, but as somebody famously said, testing only shows the presence of bugs, not never their absence. So,
right. Yes. Yeah. I mean, right. It makes sense. It depends, you know, depending on the value of your cryptocurrency portfolio. It really makes sense to think about these things and to think about what are the unknown unknowns, what are the risks, and what can I do to mitigate those risks.
Okay. And what about larger, maybe funds or, you know, crypto funds and others? How do they use, by the way, the full disclosure is that myself and my partner, Chuck Kakani, we actually run a fund called Atlantis. So, This is a loaded question.
I'm sorry, you broke up there a bit. Can you say that again?
I said myself and Chuck Kakani, my co-founder, we actually run a fund called Atlantis. And So this is a loaded question. So I'm saying, what do funds do? How do they take advantage of hardware wallets?
Well, there's a couple of different strategies. We've worked with some IRA companies for companies that do self-directed IRAs.
Yes.
And the strategy that they've used has been to put each account on a different device. So each one of their investors has a key in a vault for that investor. And we're currently working on a system for them to be able to hand the key to the device and or hand the device to the investor and allow them to use the device as their cryptocurrency wallet, but it also contains their IRA, their IRA funds. But there'll be some technology in place that puts restrictions on how the IRA funds can be used. So, for example, you wouldn't just be able to spend your IRA funds on, you know, some site that takes Bitcoin. So that's one thing. There's for like a fund that's holding crypto, a solution like KeepKey is a good solution. You can have multiple accounts for each one of the cryptocurrencies. So for example, you could have 10 Bitcoin accounts on one KeepKey. And you know, and so that way, if you need to segregate your funds for some reason, you can do it that way. You certainly wouldn't want to have 100 accounts on a KeepKey because the client would just get too slow. It would take forever to load. But for a limited number of accounts, it works great. You know, and for an investment fund or a, you know, some sort of a, like a money fund or a hedge fund, you know, using a KeepKey with having multiple KeepKeys with the same key is a really good solution, or even multiple KeepKeys that participate in a multi-sig arrangement. So yes. Let me pause for a moment. Okay, can we go off the record for a moment?
Yes, Ken, we are back on.
Okay, great.
So that's wonderful. I think we talked about now let's talk about the physical security. What do they do? What do most people do with the do they use a bank? Where do they save this?
The hardware. Well, so I keep my KeepKey with my personal funds. I just keep it in a place in my house that's, you know, safe. It's not locked up or anything. It's just in a place where, you know, someone would have to really be looking for it to find it. And
what happens if there is a fire? That's maybe a question I wanted to ask.
Well,
or a flooding.
Yeah. So again, that backup seed that you write down when you initialize the device, that's really the most important part. That's the part that gives you your backup. And so that, for me personally, I store that outside of my home.
Ah, that's the question I wanted to ask you. Haha.
That piece I store outside of my home because then I've got that, you know, that extra layer of where it, you know, both my home and the bank would have to get destroyed in order for me to lose my cryptocurrency.
Exactly.
But for the device itself, you know, I usually keep it stored away at home, but, occasionally when I'm traveling for work or whatever, I'll you know, if I think I might need to, you know, use Bitcoin or buy something while I'm gone or I'm going to want to trade while I'm gone, I'll just throw it in my backpack and take it with me. And there really is no risk to that, or the risk is extremely low.
Got it.
Just carrying it with you.
Got it. Because recently a friend that I know had a flooding.
Oh yeah.
He's a crypto investor. So
were his funds safe?
Yeah. In his case, everything was safe, but let that definitely leads to the question, right? So whatever.
For sure. For sure.
Wonderful. So are there other frequently asked questions? Are there other scenarios that are pretty important that you need to cover?
Well, I wanted to talk a little bit about the security assurances. One of the, you know, whenever you use a wallet, Unless you're a software engineer and you review all of the code, you're trusting that the developers have done the right thing. That they haven't put secret code in there to steal your funds or whatever. And one thing that the hardware wallet companies, all of the major companies have done is that we've made all of our code open source. And that's just we review each other's code. I've been contacted by our competitors, saying, hey, we think that if the way you're doing this is going to be insecure. And I've contacted them with the same concerns. And then there's third parties out there that are looking at the code and trying it out and trying to poke holes in it and trying to find bugs. And so you get a lot of assurance from knowing that the code that runs on the device and the code that's part of the client is open source. It kind of gives you this built-in security audit of all of the devices. If any of your listeners are ever looking at a hardware wallet that doesn't have open source, you probably want to think twice about it. That's almost as bad as depositing your funds on a exchange that you don't know anything about. So it's important to know what you're using is has been audited.
You know, Ken, we don't think about these things. I did not think about this, and that's odd given that I come from a programming background. I have a PhD in computer science from years ago.
Okay.
And the funny thing is, even I never paused to think that, oh, if there is a bad actor that has coded this.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
So it is important to go with, first of all, a company that has some trust built up in the industry, but second of all, somebody whose code is open and available, because we're always looking at each other's code. Even if it's just a competitor looking at the code, that's a good sign, right? It means someone's looking at the code and saying, yeah, okay, that's safe.
Oh yeah. I think this is a best practice.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else along these lines?
The only other advice I ever give anybody, I have a lot of cousins that are starting to discover cryptocurrency and they're always like, oh, well, what should I buy? When should I trade? And I just tell them, just HODL, just HODL, baby.
Ken, I have to ask you this. Your last name is really HODLer.
It really is. Yes.
The first time I saw your name and said Ken HODLer, and he's in the crypto space. Yeah,
working for a wallet company of all things.
I said, this man has been branded from the birth. Because that's one of the funds that we have in Atlantis is called Atlantis Top Coin Fund. And when people ask us, what do you invest in? We say Bitcoin and Ethereum. And they laugh at us and say, I can buy them myself. Why should I pay you the carry and all the other things you charge? We tell them that because we just ask them, did you buy Bitcoins? Yeah. At what price? $100. Okay. Do you still have them? Oh, I sold them at 200.
Yeah, right. So I had that same experience. I mentioned earlier that I was early on, I was mining. And I was in a mining pool and I earned about maybe 75 Bitcoins back then. And I sold them at $13 and I thought I was a financial genius.
Don't worry, we have all done that. Yep, I was adding up and I promised myself I would never do this again. My losses, quote unquote losses, were over $1 million. So yeah, you have good company.
Yeah.
So Ken, our joke is that we hodl for you. We protect your cryptos from the biggest enemy it has, you.
That's exactly right. I'll tell you what. It took me, that was a hard way to learn. You know, selling all my Bitcoins at $13 was a hard way to learn that the best thing to do is just to hold on to them forever.
And people ask us, you know, is there a lock-in? I said, yeah. How long? Forever. I mean, we joke about it. I mean, obviously, we only have a one-year lock-in, but we tell people, hey, if you're planning to take it out, don't invest with us. Go somewhere else. Because our whole value proposition is lost.
Right. Yeah.
So, yeah, you get it. So that's why when I saw Ken Hodler, I said, oh my God, this person needs to be the spokesperson for our ATF. So, but anyway, coming back. So this is very exciting stuff that you guys are doing. And what's coming down the pike? What are the, you know, what can people expect to see? And where do you have a KeepKey community of sorts? Let's assume that our listeners are all excited. And yeah. And quite frankly, Ken, don't you agree that everybody who invests in crypto should have one of those three wallets, hardware wallets?
Absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, don't you think it's insane? It's really insane for people to operate in this domain without one of the three wallets.
Yes, I agree. It's so easy to just, you know, lose a wallet. I mean, if for no other reason, it's so easy to just have it on a computer and then the hard drive crashes and there's nothing you can do.
Yeah, and I'm not even getting commission from KeepKey for saying that, or not from the other tool, right? I'm just saying that because it's just plain common sense.
Yeah. And so if you're interested in finding out more, our website is www.keepkey.com.
Okay.
And there's a lot of information, a lot more detailed information about our product. And you can buy it from our website using cryptocurrency. We also sell in the U.S. We sell on Amazon. Okay. And we have both us and authorized resellers on Amazon. Currently, the price on Amazon is very low. So if you if you're interested in getting a really good deal on a KeepKey, Amazon is a good place to buy it right now.
And why is that? Why are you guys, I mean, from all you're explaining to me, the features are the same, but you guys are like a significant discount on the two major competitors that you guys have.
Yeah, our normal suggested retail is $129. And we've had a couple of resellers who bought more inventory than they could sell. So they are basically liquidating it on Amazon, which means which is great for, for anyone who wants to buy a KeepKey because it's really cheap right now.
I wish I could have told them that, hey, you get an exclusive deal if you go to cryptonites.com/KeepKey, but on Amazon.
Put up an Amazon link on your,
Oh, you know what? We will actually do that.
Yeah.
Just right. Hey, listeners, right below this episode, you will find a link. You can click on, go directly to Amazon and buy it. So yeah. Absolutely, can
we put up an affiliate link on Amazon, and then you'll get I'm not kidding. You get like 3%. It adds up.
Oh yes. Well, now you're. I want you to come back more often because you're helping us generate revenues, Ken. So this is great ideas. So.
Yeah. And then let me get back to the question about community. So, so we are also, you can follow me on Twitter at BGOK, and, or KeepKey is, I don't even know. It changed.
You said at DG, D as in David, G as in George?
No, B as in boy, G as in girl.
Okay. BGOK, boy, girl. Okay.
Yeah.
Is your Twitter handle. So, okay, that's pretty good to reach you out on that.
Yeah, or let's see.
Is a KeepKey handle on Twitter? Let's just
find out. I should have had ready to go. I apologize. We just need it. Oh, it's crypto.
It says at crypto KeepKey. Is that sounding right?
Yes, at Crypto Keep Key.
Yeah, okay. I just Googled it, at Crypto Keep Key. Guys, those are ways to reach out to.
Yes, those are good ways to reach us. We're also pretty active on Reddit. We have a subreddit. It's /r/KeepKey.
Okay.
And then just in general, you know, keep an eye on our blog, because we're, you know, we don't just post marketing stuff there. We post, you know, tips on how to, you know, best practices for keeping your cryptocurrency secure. Where it's, you know, we're very security focused. We're more of a security product than we are anything else.
Yeah.
And so we're constantly publishing articles and writing blog posts and so forth, just about general security principles. So, so if you have concerns about that, I encourage you to, you know, to follow us on social media and keep an eye on our blog and things like that.
Yeah. www.keepkey.com/blog, P-L-O-G. Okay. Got it. Yeah. Thanks, Ken. I think we covered it all, at least most of it, right?
So yeah, everything I can think of, yeah.
Great. We look forward to having you back as a guest speaker in the future.
And, anytime. I enjoyed talking with you.
We totally enjoyed it. I'm sure our listeners will totally enjoy this. This is going to be extremely practical and useful, and very valuable, in fact. This is critical to cryptos, right? So the same way we had Paul Walsh of MetaCert talking about phishing links and all of that some episodes ago. People absolutely loved it because it was so useful. Practical advice on keeping your crypto safe. So,
yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Crypto Knights. Never miss an episode. Subscribe now at www.cryptonights.io.